Show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
G'day and welcome to a special edition of the Cliffo and Gabby Catch Up Podcast.
May is Domestic and Family Violence Prevention Month in Queensland, and this is something that we want to talk about and raise awareness for because it is so important.
It's something we believe that platforms such as this need to talk about more.
Mm.
It's the kind of thing that needs to be talked about for the problem to get better.
Yeah, the community needs to band together, but awareness is the first step. And while they're really hard conversations to have and hard things to hear, they're so important.
Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll be speaking to a series of experts on the matter, starting things off with two specialist Queensland police, Senior Constable Emily Lyons and Sergeant Elise Feltham.
So when we talk domestic violence, what actually is domestic violence? Because it's not, you know, just the physical side of things. There's more to it.
Exactly right, and that's a fantastic question, to be honest. Thank you both for having us. We really do appreciate it. When people talk about domestic and family violence, immediately they think of hitting and physical forms of violence. Mm. Now, I can tell you, by far, there are so many other different types. You would have heard recently that there's a coercive control task force that has been issued by the Queensland government. There is so many different facets of domestic violence. You can talk about psychological abuse, sexual abuse, financial abuse. People who are just controlling other people to get exactly what they need to have absolute control. So we talk about power and control, and that's ultimately what it's about. And it doesn't always involve the act of physical violence.
Mm.
And quite often there's many, many victims who experience psychological abuse to such a point that they have nowhere to go, they are lost, and they don't know what to do.
All right, so you mentioned coercive control there. I know that's a big theme, a big important thing that we need to talk about this month. So what exactly is coercive control, guys?
Yeah, coercive control is a pattern of acts, of assaults or threats or humiliation or intimidation or other abuse that is used to harm or punish or frighten someone. It's doing something because someone else is threatening you or blackmailing you or bribing you. It is the most common risk factor leading up to an intimate partner homicide.
It's really scary stuff to listen to, but it's a really important conversation, especially if there are kids involved in a relationship that is, you know, has domestic violence involved in it. Can we talk a bit more about kids being involved in this situation and what we can do to help them?
Yeah, certainly. Domestic and family violence has some really serious effects on children. It can impact on their social problems. They can become delayed in meeting developmental and emotional milestones. They grow up believing that power and control is normal in a relationship. Things like sleep problems, nightmares, bedwetting. And kids often take on, the feelings that they blame themselves for the violence and they feel helpless.
You know,
they can't help those that are close to them that are experiencing that violence.
Heartbreaking. You can't even imagine a child going through that in their, you know, undeveloped minds. It's just, yeah, horrible. There's a stat in front of me. So far in 2021, there's been more than 21,000 DVO applications submitted to Queensland Police. So the numbers are just so high and so horrific. If there's one final message that we could get out to Queensland, this Domestic and Family Violence Prevention Month, what is that message?
Look, it's about the community understanding what it is and trying to acknowledge with their family and friends that the problem exists.
Mm.
One in four women are suffering at the moment, and we're not saying it's only just female victims. We've got children who are victims and men who are victims. We need the community to understand that every community has domestic and family violence and every community has a part to play. In fact, the theme for DV Prevention Month this month is we all have a part to play. If you identify that someone is suffering from domestic violence or you're having conversations about it, we're educating people, and slowly and more accurately, people will be standing up for those who need protection.
What if you suspect that a friend or family member is a victim of domestic violence? What do you do then?
Look, it depends on the situation. Ultimately, if you can build a rapport with that person and just let them know that you're there and allow them to talk to you. The biggest thing is listening and not judging.
Mm.
Believing a victim is huge.
Mm.
A lot of people don't believe that coercive control, for example, is domestic and family violence. They just don't believe it. When people think of domestic and family violence, they think, oh, well, he doesn't hit me, so it's okay.
Hmm.
It's not that. The physical violence is another way that a perpetrator will react in situations where they're losing control.
And believing a victim is so important too, because from the outside, such and such could look like a great bloke or a great woman, but you don't know what's happening behind closed doors. So if a victim just talked to you about it, it's so important to put your opinions aside
that's also a great point. When we're talking about domestic and family violence, in the 1950s, it was something that was kept inside. It was a private matter. We never talked about it. It has become so bad now that it's time, and we've learnt so much since then, that it's not a family problem. It's not something we keep indoors. We should be communicating about it with our work friends, with our family, with our cousins, with our aunties, with our uncles. And it is very difficult to understand how someone you've trusted at work to be a great bloke might be committing acts at home, and a totally different person. Mm. Same for female.
Two amazing Queensland police officers who spend their life working with domestic violence victims, Senior Constable Emily Lyons and Sergeant Elise Feltham there.
Off the back of that, we thought it'd be really important to talk to survivors of domestic and family violence to hear their accounts of what happened and how they got out. And we reached out, we wanted a male and a female survivor, but men just will not come forward and talk about their stories. Yeah. We found it impossible.
It's a very, very hard topic for anyone to talk about, and we have discovered in our research that, it's something that men bear a lot of shame about if they're actually victims of domestic violence. However, we did find a pretty inspirational woman who was willing to talk.
Her name is Simone O'Brien, and while her story is harrowing, also very inspiring.
Simone, tell us a little bit about your story. It's an intense one. How did domestic violence creep its way into your life?
From little red flags. And they were little red flags that myself not knowing anything about domestic violence up until this point, that's why I call them little red flags. And they were only making me feel sick in the tummy. And they were just like little things like deleting contacts out of my phone, sending me flowers to work. Not just one bunch every, couple of weeks. It was every day. Taking money out of my wallet, just having total control of me in all different domains, and not telling the truth, in which I found that out after. I'd actually had to have this assault take place on me. But they might seem little red flags, but they just made me feel sick in the tummy. And that's why I actually tried to end the relationship.
So the little red flags obviously built up to something that was quite huge and something that's left scars on you forevermore. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
Basically, because of these little red flags and myself not being in a relationship for many a years, I actually rang a friend on the Saturday prior to the Monday of the 25th of September 2012, and I said, how do I get out of this relationship? I'm just feeling sick in the tummy from these little incidents. And she said, let's do it on Monday. So I did. I did it on Monday on my way into the CBD of Brisbane. I worked at Transport and Main Roads, and I dropped the children off at school and did it then. And funny, I'm laughing now, but I didn't know whether to text, email, or ring him. So I actually texted him, and by the end of the day, I felt a relief that I'd got rid of him out of my life. Then there was a knock at the door, and he actually came to the door because I hadn't spoken to him all day after sending the text message. And the police, the investigators have since said there were hundreds of text messages on my phone. Obviously, they had to have it as evidence. But from 6:06 to 6:16, from when I did let him in the house because I thought I've got to give him an opportunity to speak to me, I was fighting for my life.
Wow.
Because he'd beat me with a baseball bat because he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Oh, my God.
That's why I say these little red flags turn into big red flags in someone else's mind. And that's why little red flags need to be watched all the time.
Definitely.
This has led to you becoming an ambassador, raising awareness for domestic violence, and you're a staunch campaigner against it now.
Absolutely.
Talk us through that. Is it hard to relive your story like you have with us this morning?
Do you know what? It's actually now I'm at the stage in my life. I look at it as a positive because it's getting it off my shoulders and I'm getting that voice out to everyone else. And do you know what? When I say it's a team effort, like you guys are now, we're in a team. We're stopping domestic violence. So if I can speak up about it and not be embarrassed and put encouragement into other women, and especially our children that are coming through, our next generations, because that's where we need to make the change. We're all working together, and I've actually turned my story into a positive. Even though I was fighting for my life, and I will never look like a normal female again, but that's what inspires me to keep going. You know, after 52 operations I've had, and every 7 to 10 days I actually fly in and fly out of Brisbane for treatment. So I think as a person myself, I don't realise how big my story is and what I've turned it into, but that's my inspiration to other women, is look at it into a positive. We don't have to sit at home and get depression and think we're the world's worst person and da-da-da because this has happened to us. Let's look at it as a positive and put education into our next generations that are coming through.
Domestic violence survivor and just all-round inspirational woman, Simone O'Brien there.
She's so amazing. When it comes to domestic and family violence, DV Connect is thrown out as a resource a lot of the time for people who are going through domestic violence. Beck O'Connor is the CEO of DV Connect, so we thought we'd get her on to explain what they do.
The DV Connect provides the Queensland-wide domestic and family violence and sexual assault helplines. So we help people who are, as you said, either experiencing violence or those who choose to use violence in their relationships. We're a free service and available for support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. So our primary focus is your safety and the safety of your children. We have highly trained specialist domestic violence and sexual assault counsellors on call to help you make a plan to be safe, whether you're remaining in your home or you're needing to escape. When you need help to get out, we can help you with transport, emergency accommodation, and even support for your pets if you need to go into refuge.
See, that's the one thing that I guess people don't think of is people with children, people with pets. Like, there's more to think about than just themselves getting out of this situation. But you guys help every single step along the way, including that pet crisis.
Yeah, we do. So we have a partnership with the RSPCA. And we have a program called Pets in Crisis, and that program, because it's often a barrier for people to escape violence, is thinking about their pets or if there's been a threat to their pets. So we work with the RSPCA to get safe refuge for pets and vet care and support, so that's not a barrier.
I didn't have the stats in front of me. I'm not sure if you do, Beck, but I'd imagine it would be a massive thing. People staying in situations of domestic violence because they just can't see a way out.
Yeah, look, there's no way to have that statistic.
No.
But what I do know, though, is that we take around 140,000 calls a year across Queensland. So what that means is that we take a call for help around every 4 minutes on average.
Mm. It's a really big problem. Is there a message that you would put out there to anyone listening right now, Beck, if they are in a situation that they need help with or they think they know someone that is? What message would you like them to hear?
Yeah, look, first off, if someone's told you or you suspect that they're experiencing domestic and family violence, it's really important that you listen and you believe and you validate them. It's important to remind them that it's never their fault and that abusers make a choice to harm others. It's important to ask the person how you'd like to support them, how they'd like you to support them, without judgment or expectation that they'll want to take any immediate action. Because the fact that they've told you might be all that they need in that moment, and that's okay. It's also important that you know that there are specialist services like DV Connect out there that you can help refer your friend or your neighbour or your colleague too, and it's important to give that information discreetly. Yeah. For someone who is experiencing it, the first thing though is that if they're experiencing abuse, to ensure the safety of themselves and their children if they have them, if they ever feel in danger and it's safe to do so, to try and remove yourself, perhaps going to a friend, a relative or a neighbour's house. Or if you're unable to safely escape, then call the police on 000. You can also report online now. It's part of some strategies put in place during COVID. The police now have an online report tool. If you're unable to make a phone call safely, you can report online.
Incredible. Can people donate to DV Connect? Is that something that you need funds to do what you do?
Absolutely. While we're funded by government, we run a number of programs and services that we run entirely through donation.
Okay, what's the website to donate?
It's dvconnect.org.
CEO of DV Connect, Beck O'Connor there. And if you can support the cause, that website again is dvconnect.org.
Next up, we actually had a woman contact us. She's a psychotherapist working in the field of domestic violence. Sophie Bergen is her name. And she told us all about the red flags that can be a precursor to domestic violence.
Yeah, red flags. As we know, domestic violence is a very complex issue with many, many layers to it. I think what a lot of people can do is make a difference to their own safety early on in a relationship. And it's asking the tough questions that we often don't want to ask or feel too awkward to ask them. And they're things like, how did you grow up? What was your parents' relationship like? And how did they deal with conflict? Because as a child, you observed what your parents, how they handled it all, whether there was fighting, whether the father shut down, whether mother became hysterical. I think it's good to ask those questions. And we often go into a honeymoon phase and we don't want to discuss them.
So is it common, Sophie, for people to have like a cycle in their life where they experience possible domestic or family violence as a child and then go into those sorts of relationships as an adult?
Absolutely. And if the issues are unresolved, it doesn't always happen, but in my practice of almost 20 years, I've seen that, patterns continue on. Sometimes the man can go to that place, maybe that he witnessed his father go, and he loathes that part of himself and he seeks help, and that's a great thing. When a man reaches out and says, this has happened in my marriage or in my relationship, I feel deep remorse, deep shame, and I'm prepared to do the work so it never happens again.
Whenever we talk about domestic violence on air, the truth is, and it upsets me, every time, we get pushback and we hear the same thing over and over again. Men can be victims of domestic violence as well. And we have never said that is not the case. The stats are overwhelming that women are more likely to suffer domestic violence. A woman on average dies every week in Australia, a man every month due to domestic and family violence. So the stats are there to back that up. But it does happen to men as well. We have found it impossible to get a man on this week to talk about this problem. Is that surprising to you?
No, not at all. Men don't want to talk about it because they feel deep shame. They feel that they'll be ridiculed, judged. And men in our society, sadly, are conditioned to be strong and not vulnerable. And they'll feel that they'll be perceived as weak. But I have seen men come forward to me in my practice that have experienced it.
How important is it for men to speak up and make sure that, they are heard and that this issue is a balanced conversation?
Yeah. Very, very important. And that's why the movement of brothers' circles and men's circles, are starting to accelerate. And that's very important so that men do get heard.
Sophie Bergen there, a psychotherapist and a woman who has spent much of her life helping victims of domestic and family violence.
It was after all these conversations that the federal budget was handed down and so much money, over $1 billion, is going towards fixing the domestic violence issues in Australia. And we had the opportunity to talk to Prime Minister Scott Morrison about that.
We took that opportunity to play back a statement to him that was recorded by Simone O'Brien, an earlier guest on our podcast, and Simone herself, a victim and survivor of domestic and family violence. ScoMo, it's been described as a very female-friendly budget with $3.4 billion to women's safety, health and economic security. A large portion of that going to help victims of domestic violence. And in Queensland, it's actually Domestic and Family Violence Prevention Month. And we spoke to a woman who suffered domestic violence and she's now an advocate for the cause. Her name's Simone O'Brien. And she said this to us yesterday in regards to the money being spent on domestic violence. So we'll just play this to you, then get your thoughts.
Do you think that this money was handed out in this particular area because of the scandals that have happened in Parliament House over the last year or so?
To be honest with you, I'm going to speak from my heart and I do speak open and honestly. I do believe it has.
Yeah.
Because, they've had to feel the little bit of guilt that we need to put more money into it.
Your thoughts on Simone's words there, Prime Minister?
Well, look, I respect her views, obviously. I mean, $1 billion had already been invested in these projects since we've been in government through the National Plan to Protect Women Against Violence. That was a national plan process that was done bipartisanly. It started under Julia Gillard back a decade ago, and it's a national program where you work together with the states and territories, and we've put $1 billion into that plan already, and now on top of that, through the women's safety initiatives, another $1.2 billion into those measures, because I think this is an issue that has nothing to do with politics and everything to do with safety.
It's definitely huge steps in the right direction. I guess Simone's point was more to the fact that, is it just a reaction to a pretty, you know, horrible,
scandalous,
yeah, few months, yeah, that we've seen come out of Canberra?
Well, no, because as I said, we've already had put $1 billion in, so this is adding to that. We've doubled down, and I think that's great, and I think we need to keep going.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison there, just one of the many voices who joins in on this special Cliffo and Gabby catch-up podcast, talking domestic and family violence prevention month.
And the month does continue throughout May, so we do encourage you now and always to have these conversations, because it does come down to a community level where conversation is the first step to change.
100%. I'm so proud that we can be part of that conversation. And please, if this special podcast has raised any issues within yourself, you can contact Lifeline on 13 11 14. Or if you are in a domestic or family violence related situation, you can contact DV Connect on 1800 811 811.
We're Cliffo and Gabby, and thanks for listening. The Hit Breakfast Show.